Coming today, we had little things happen, but you know what? I think it's in perfect order because I'm going to let you speak today. And just, I want to get some input from you. Something that Arielle said that touched my heart, she said, without change, there would be no butterflies. And I thought, isn't that the truth? Unless we're willing to change, a butterfly could never come into existence. And there's huge changes. I don't know if all of you know this, but you know the butterfly is the only insect that's total DNA changes from the time it's a caterpillar to the time it's a butterfly. It demonstrates a total metamorpho, a total transition. And so it's just awesome. And what I want to talk about today is God has given me two dreams this week. And one was about a puzzle, and the other was about a tapestry. I've talked on this subject before, but I'm going to talk on it again. I was thinking about Arielle, and if I had shut myself down, I would not have experienced the love that came into my life through her, because she was different when I met her. Didn't speak my terminology, didn't believe just in the row of how I believed, was different. But yet, we found common ground. She was interested in the Bible and the esoteric way that I teach the Bible. And so she kind of came onto my ground, and I kind of came onto her ground, and I honored where she was, and she honored where I was. And we formed a friendship and a love. And I thought, had I been closed, I would have lost that chance, that opening to know that spirit. And one of her friends, Nina and I did the service together, which was so beautiful. It was just so crossing over. But one of her friends that had known her for 25 years, I said, Ann, how would you describe Arielle? And she said, she was the most innocent, the sweetest, the kindest, the most angelic person I ever met in my life. They roomed together in college, so she knew her for 25 years. And she said, she never harbored an ill feeling or uttered an ill word against anybody. How many of us can that be said about us in our lifetime? And I got to experience that. I saw that love. She always encouraged me in what I was doing, upheld me in what I was doing, honored me in what I was doing, you know, tried to come alongside and help me in what I was doing. You know, even now I'm pondering why she was in my life and what she gave to me. But the whole thing was, I had made a determination in my life to seek oneness. I had made a determination in my life to draw a circle and find a common ground to bring others into my arena. And I think that's what we all have to do. And the two dreams I had this week, because I've been thinking about her and life and all of the things, was first I saw this tapestry. And then I saw a puzzle that came up real close after it. And the Spirit said to me so plainly, he said, you cannot see the whole of it, the fullness of it, understand it till it all comes into oneness. It's partial. Think of a puzzle. Every piece of the puzzle has a part. But until the whole puzzle is put together, you cannot see the fullness or understand. Sometimes you don't even know what the picture is. You know, a partial puzzle, you'll say, oh, I understand. And then another piece comes in and you say, well, that's not what I thought it was. And I believe that's what's happening in the world today. You know, we've got all these opinions and all of these things, but until the puzzle is totally put together and the tapestry is totally together and we see the full picture of what God is doing on planet Earth, we cannot understand. And I think it's in that those acceptance of people and finding that common ground where we can meet and honor. You know, I heard Frank spoke about love last week. And you know, love covers. Isn't that what the Bible says? It doesn't say it uncovers and shows all the separations and everything. And another thing I was thinking about is segregation. You know, and the funny thing is I came over here, I have an article that I wrote the first of this year. I think I have it up here, it's called, and I put them out there if any of you haven't read it. It's called Let Freedom Ring. And it was about Martin Luther King's birthday and how he talked about the proclamation of emancipation for the black people. But we haven't fully understand the proclamation of emancipation for all people. You know, I think he was a type and a shadow to show us, and I think segregation was a physical picture. What happened when we wanted to segregate? People were killed. There was fighting in the streets. There was uproar because we wanted to bring the black and the whites together. Because we wanted to bring in integration. because we were trying to come into oneness. And I believe that's exactly what's happening in this day. Some people are just not going to stand for it. They're going to fight. They're going to fight to stay in their places, fight to be right, fight to. But I think segregation was such a picture for us. I'm going to read. I'm going to read a little bit of this to you today, and I want you to think in your heart and mind, because at the end, I want to ask you, what does oneness mean to you? I've talked about oneness probably for over a year. The Spirit, God has been showing me oneness in almost every scripture in the Bible, but let me just read, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. Yesterday was Martin Luther King's birthday, and I was inspired to go online and read his famous speech, "I Have a Dream." Little did I know that that speech made so long ago could have such an impact in 2007. As I read his words, they began to come alive with meaning. Dr. King was truly a man walking in inspiration or in spirit. His message was one of hope for the black people who still had not gained their freedom, even though the Emancipation Proclamation had been signed by Abraham Lincoln many years before. Through this message, I began to see the cry for freedom was not just from the heart of the black people, but remains a cry from the heart of all people. His words are so symbolic for us today as we enter into the new year 2007. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ wrote a proclamation of emancipation for all mankind and has signed it with the shedding of his own blood. His proclamation was to set us free from a mind in bondage to the darkened belief system, seeing itself separated from God and separated from others. His proclamation stated that we no longer had to judge anyone by a fleshly concept, but could see all men as spirit, all men as the essence of God. Today, mankind still has not fully apprehended the proclamation of emancipation. And we, like Dr. King, need to stand up and make a cry for freedom to us. Freedom to see all men in their true identity, created in the image and likeness of God. Freedom to see all men as brothers. Freedom to take the hand of any man, woman, or child, no matter their race, their religion, their nationality, or their belief, and embrace them as part of ourselves without ridicule or condemnation. Freedom, as I understand it, is to take down every wall of separation between ourselves and others through love and acceptance, no matter the cost. The question for us is, are we ready to let freedom ring? As the crowds walked through the street of Washington that day in 1963, and up the steps of the Capitol building, they sang a song, which was also symbolic for us today. The song was this, "We Shall Overcome." As I listened to those words, I remember someone else saying, if we could let go of our belief systems of this world, which were only able to bring in tribulation, and believe his words, we too could overcome. In John, Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And the world is a system. The world is a belief system of limitations. The world is a belief system of separation. The world is a belief system that keeps you right and everybody else wrong. And he said, "I have overcome the world." I don't know about you, but when he came, it said he came to bring good news to all mankind and to bring peace upon the earth. But we are still hoping for that. Christ was telling us, get happy. He had prevailed over the belief system, the limited perceptions of separation, and pulled the pulls of this physical world, and now lived in a realm of God realization. His words were meant for us today. We too can overcome the things which have brought only sorrow, anguish, unhappiness, and walk in a place of peace and unity with all people. Martin Luther King had a profound dream for his people, but Jesus Christ saw the reality of that dream coming true for all people. He came so humanity could awaken to their connectedness to God and each other. The answer for eradicating discrimination, fighting, hatred, war, and terrorism was in his message of oneness given before his crucifixion. Perfection can only be realized as we recognize oneness with all humanity. And I'm just going to skip down to the last paragraph, and you can get a copy of this. Towards the end of Dr. King's speech, he said this, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that men were created equal. We too must have a dream of this day to see men worldwide remembered. All were created in the image of God and are one in him. In this day, we are being called to lay aside our differences and embrace our similarities, to lay aside what we cannot agree on in favor of what we can agree on. Christ said, "There is no greater love than we lay down our life for our brother." When we come to know this truth, all men are brothers, we begin to see that the equality and peace Dr. King dreamed of can indeed become a reality. And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring in every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, from every country, every nationality, every race and every religion, my words were added there, we will be able to speed up the day when all God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." My desire, my heart is, can we let freedom ring? And I believe that we today are a chosen group of people. I really do. I think we are setting a precedent for what is happening worldwide. You know, there's a compulsion. There's a drive within us to unite, but we haven't known the ways because we have been so segregated in our what's happening. We are oneness. Do you realize that? We are oneness. Whether you realize it, whether we accept it, it says there is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Christ brought forth one new creation man. His whole message was oneness. And I'm going to get to that. He said, we will never recognize perfection until we see oneness. He said, that they may be in me, in you, that they might be made perfect in division, in Christianity, in a belief system, that they might be made perfect in one. Just like that puzzle, just like that tapestry that I was dreaming of and was so clear. I was seeing the tapestry being sewn with the beauty of all these different colored threads, but you couldn't see what the tapestry was till the whole thing was completed. And it needed every thread. And I thought about that prism, that the colored light goes through. But if all the colors aren't there, it doesn't go through that prism. You see, it takes all. So we are oneness. We are the embodiment. Now listen to this. You are the embodiment of God life. Just like a spoonful of the ocean has every property of the ocean, so do you. Just like a sunbeam has all the properties of the sun, so do you. You know, Christ was talking quantum physics. He said, "I and the Father are one. There is no division." Well, how could that be? He was here, and we think about this God out there. But when we realize we are, and then he said, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him bodily. That is the fullness of the ocean, the fullness of the sun. You see, there's that oneness. And we are bonded in oneness, being of it and through it. Right now, this time, creation is driving towards oneness and unity. I don't know if many of you get on the internet, but if you saw the different fields that are driving towards oneness, it is just, it's awesome. We're awakening that there is a universal thread that flows through everything, that flows through everything. Yesterday, I talked with this fella. He's Greek Orthodox. He was cleaning my kids' cars, and he had changed to religious, I don't know what it's called, religious studies, I think. He's getting his degree in I said, "Nico, why did you do that?" He said, "I was interested." You know, he said, "It's not that it's going to sway me because he's Greek Orthodox." He said, "But I was just interested to what other people believed." And I said, "I think that's great. I think that's great." And he said, "You know, there's a common thread that goes through everything." I said, "You think so, Nico?" He said, "I do. I'm seeing this common thread." I said, "Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing when you look for things that bring in oneness instead of things to separate?" See, we've majored on separation, just like the black and the whites. That was the biggest thing. And look what the fight. Abraham Lincoln wrote that emancipation. Did we honor it? No, we didn't. Still today, you know, when I listen to some of the things Dr. King said, what a profound man. I think, well, he was noted the greatest man of the 20th century. But he would say, you know, little black children couldn't drink in a drinking fountain. How do you tell your child you can't drink there? "I'm thirsty, mommy." "Sorry, you can't take a drink of water." How do you tell your child to get on the bus and go to the back? You know, Nat King Cole could not go into, he was a famous singer and couldn't go into hotels and stay in the hotel. They'd bring him in the back through the kitchen to sing. But what have we done? We have done the same. We say, oh, that's so terrible. But we have done the same. Because somebody talks with a different terminology, because they believe a little differently. You know, you are the ones that are stepping over those boundaries, those lines that have been, you know, in our mind, when you have a thought, there's a, it's like a ditch. Well, there's been a ditch that has been in the sand for 2,000 years, and we are the ones that are going to step over that ditch. There's also been walls barricaded with religious dogma, but we're the ones that are taking down those walls. We are the ones that are called. I wanted to want to say this. What did Christ do? He destroyed sin, didn't he? I started thinking about that. What is sin? Come on. Missing the mark. It's like somebody with an arrow, when they hit the target, it's missing the mark. But what does that mean? How did he bring down sin? By sacrificing himself. See, we are bringing that sin down, which is humanity missing the mark, by sacrificing of ourselves. I'm going to bring Arielle in because that was it. I sacrificed myself to bring us into a place where we could agree. And once I got into that place where we could agree, we had the most beautiful conversations, the most beautiful oneness, the most beautiful, and I still feel one with her. But see, we are in a time when we really are sacrificing our ego, sacrificing our self, our belief systems, our paradigms that have been taught by our parents, by our religious system. We're doing that. I want to get into this. I want to go to Genesis 1:1. If you have a Bible, just turn there. We're going to start there. I want to show you. I believe that the Bible is a picture of oneness and unity from Genesis through Revelation. It says in the beginning God. Now, how many of you know what that word God means? When you think about God, still, all of us think about this white-haired man separate from us, sitting up in heaven and says, I'm going to do something. But you know, that's not what this Bible says. That word is Elohim. That word is a plural word. It's not talking about one God. It's plural. It means magistrates or deities. And E-L, listen to what it means. It means a demonstrative particle, but only in a plural sense. It means these or those. So this plural God that was in harmony and unity and oneness began a creation. Because it says in Job's, it says, let me bring you into remembrance, and this is the Aramaic, where you were when I laid the foundation of the world, when the angels sang and the sons of God shouted for joy. So you see, you were part of the plan before you ever arrived on planet Earth. And so here we see, I believe, here we see the Alpha, because it says the Alpha and Omega, doesn't it? And Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega. But here is the Christ. What is Christ? Christ is a life-giving spirit. It said the first Adam was a living soul, but the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. So what do we see coming out? We see a life-giving spirit. This is Christ. He says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. So here's this life-giving spirit, and it's all in oneness. It's in harmony. It's in unity. So how does the Bible start? In oneness. In unity, in harmony. And everything came out of that harmony and that unity. Listen to what one means. One means unity, first, alike, altogether, and only. There's only been us. How do you like that? There's only ever been us. But everybody's part of that us. Remember when they said, he said, love your brothers as yourself? And they said, well, then I want to know, who's my brother? I don't like those people that don't think like me, talk like me, act like me, look like me, you know, different color than me. But Christ was showing that all are our brothers. Whoever you are with are your brothers. In Hebrew, listen to this. One begins with E-L, the same word as Elohim. When you look up one, it begins with that E-L. Isn't that all? And I told you, you know, the word church, when you look up the word ecclesia, which is E-L, which is God, it means it goes back to the start of motion and time. So guess who the church is? All of creation. Nobody's not in the church. It's not talking about the Protestant church or the Catholic church or the Episcopal church or the Baptist church or the... It's talking about all that came out of God. Who didn't come out of God? Does anybody know anybody that did not come out of God? And it says we come out of him, we go through him, and we go to him. Isn't that what the Bible says? I don't see anybody going any other way. I really don't. What I was saying, what happens if they're a Buddhist and they leave this world? Because we don't believe in hell anymore, do we? How many believe in hell, that it's a literal place? That a spirit can go to a literal place and burn for eternity? Then what happens to him? I believe it says, my grace is eternal. I believe there's still an ascension. There's something that goes on even beyond this realm that we know. So I just want to go in here. I want to read to you Genesis 1 and verse 9 through 13. You know that I believe that we're in the third day and the seventh day from creation. And I believe that this Genesis 1 is an ascension of consciousness. Every day shows us an evolution. It starts with a lower, you know, with a lower energy and the moon, the sun, and all that. Then it goes to the animals, and finally it goes to man. So I believe all of Genesis can be understood in many, many ways, but it's an evolution of consciousness. Now look what happened on the third day. In Genesis 9, it says this, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. That's you and me, girls and boys. That's the water that you are. You know, 97% of your body is water. And you know, in the Bible, the sea is really humanity. It's, you know, see, this Bible is an allegory. It's not just literal. We have to see it as an allegory. So he said, let the waters be gathered together. And I believe that's what's happening in this third day. And I'm going to show you, this is a third day picture. Let the waters be gathered together in one place, into the oneness of God, knowing that all came out of God, into one, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And you know what the dry land is a picture of? Jesus Christ. Remember when Egypt crossed over on the dry land? They went from death to life, and Jesus Christ shed the blood, he shed the water, he was your dry land. You crossed from death to life. He was a picture of the dry land. So what's going to appear in this day? Your Christ in nature, your godness, your oneness, your divinity. As the waters gather together, but first the waters are gathering together, and then the dry land appears. Isn't that something? That first we begin to gather together, and then our divinity begins to come to the surface. So it says in 10, and God called the dry, and land is not in there, earth, and gathering together of the waters, the seas, and God saw it was good. And God said, let the earth, now listen to this, let the earth bring forth grass, that's new life, and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. You are a tree planted by the riverside. You are trees. I see all men as trees walking. Remember when Jesus touched those eyes and he said, what do you see? He said, and then the second time he touched him, he said, I see all men clearly. First he saw all men as trees walking. And then he said, now I see all men clearly. You are trees. And the seed that's going to bring forth the fruit is within you. And God said, and it was good. This is the third day picture. I don't know if you have that. We have a gentleman here today that's written a book. I'm not going to go, but, and he also has done it but anyway, I'm off and on. But anyway, this is a third day picture. And God said, it is good. And he said, let the earth bring forth the grass and the herb yielding, and the seed in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, new life, and herb yielding seed after his kind, the God kind, and the tree yielding fruit, the fruit of the character of God, whose seed was inside after his kind, and God saw it was good. Recording today. Maybe that's why we're not recording today, Mark. It was a little loose. But anyway, can you see that this is a third day picture? Can you see that it says that the waters are going to come together into oneness, and then the dry land is going to appear, the divinity within you is going to appear, and then that fruit tree is going to begin bringing forth that fruit and new life? That's the day that you and I are in there. The Bible starts with a oneness. The Bible starts with exactly what's happening in this day. It is so beautiful. Let's go to John 17, which is, we've done a million times, but I'm going to show you something new today that I just saw new myself. Love it, love it. This is the prayer that Christ prayed before he went to the cross. We're going to start with verse 2, John 17, 2. It says this. It says, as thou have given him power over some flesh. Is that what your Bible says? My Bible says all flesh. That means everybody on planet Earth. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Well, that's a trick question. He says, I gave you power over all flesh. And then he says, to give life to as many as thou hast given him. Well, how many did he give him? All. Isn't that exactly? See, this Bible, you have to see it by the Spirit. In verse 3, it says, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And then I want to go down to, and what is Jesus Christ? It is that life-giving Spirit. It says that. It says the second, last Adam was a life-giving Spirit. It's not a man that is outside of ourselves that we have to talk to, and it is the man that is within us. It is the life-giving Spirit that's within each and every one of us. I said, where does God and Jesus Christ, where's the separation? If he keeps saying, I'm in him, he's in me, we're in one, where's the separation? We might call him God, or we might call him Jesus Christ, but they are the same life-giving Spirit. Let me see where I want to go. Verse 5, it says this. And now, O Father, glorify thy me with thine own self, with oneness, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Glorify me with that oneness, that unity. What is glory? It's coming into the realization of oneness before the world was. Oneness with my own self. And verse 6 says this, I have manifested your name. Now, we think that that means a name, don't we? But that means the character. That means the nature of God. See, I've manifested your nature, your character, your identity unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were. All, who all were his. Who didn't come out of God. Thine they were. Thou gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Do you believe that? Do you believe they kept the word right then? I don't believe so. They're getting ready to deny him. Just a few hours and they were going to deny him. You know what I believe right here? We're going to see it right here. I believe these are words that weren't true. He saw things. He spoke things that weren't as though they were, and those things came to pass. This is affirmation. I'm going to continue reading. I've never seen this before, but I said to myself, no, they didn't believe. He keeps saying, you can't do that because you don't believe. This takes this, and you know, they did not believe. They head for the hills the moment he was crucified and locked themselves in. Do you know him? I don't know him. Peter said, heck, I don't know him. If he believed that he was really God, would he say, I don't know him? If he believed that he could resurrect him, would they go hide up in an upper room somewhere? This is Christ speaking words that weren't as though they were to bring them into manifestation. Now listen to what he says. And I've never seen this before. Let's see. They have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou have given me are of thee. No, they didn't. If they had known that he could raise himself up, they did not understand this at all. He was speaking this into existence. And verse 7 says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou gave me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they have received them. Do you believe they received them? At that period in time? I don't think so. And have known surely that I came out, that I came out from thee, and they have believed that you did send me. I think they believed a little bit, but I definitely don't think they totally believed that. I believe that do you see that? I mean, can you see that? Because if they were really believed, they would never have left him. They would never have forsaken him. They would never have gone into hiding. They would have never denied him. They would have, if they truly believed that he was God and that everything that he said was truth, and they had received all the words that he said, because first of all, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. When he left, it was better because it would quicken that spirit within him, within them, that they could believe in a more dynamic way. But this is all words spoken to bring things in that were not there. I just love it, because I have never seen this before either. Let me see where I am now. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, not for this system, not for what you see with your senses, not for what you perceive to be true. I pray for them. I pray not for the world system, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And you know what we used to say? I don't know about you, Frank, but this is what we used to say. That world is everybody that doesn't believe like me. I'm not praying for all those people over there in India. I'm not praying for all those people over there in, you know, Iraq. I'm not praying for all those people. I'm just praying for this little group of people that's with me. But what I see now is he said, I'm not praying for the world system. I'm not. And what does prayer mean? Aligning your mind. I'm not aligning my thoughts with the world system. I'm aligning my thoughts with truth, because prayer is just aligning yourself with God, the mind of God. It's not asking. It's not begging. It's coming into agreement with the mind of God. Boy, when you see this Bible in this terms, it changes everything. So it's not about people. It's about aligning your mind. And verse 10 says this, and all are thine. What? He said, all are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. See, we've always had this little group, and I read it like that too, this little group, but this life-giving spirit, which men express in different ways, there is a light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And then in verse 11 it says, and now I am no more in the world. Well, he was standing right there, talk about the world, but he says, but I'm not in the world. Hey, Kristen, you see me, but I'm not in the world. I'm not, because my thoughts are ascending this dimension. I'm not going to be controlled by what the world is preaching. I'm not going to be controlled by my senses, my situations, what I believe to be true. He was standing right there and he said, I'm not in the world. He talked supernaturally. He talked esoterically. He talked beyond a natural realm. They did not understand and they did not receive it, but we would receive it. We would understand it. And I believe that he's talking about us today, too. See where I am. Oh, he was Mr. Woo-woo for that time. I'm sure that he, because they couldn't understand what he was saying. And all are mine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified outside of them. Is that what your Bible says? It says, I am glorified in them. I love it. Let's see where else I want to go. In verse 11, to read that. And now I'm no more in the world, but they are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in your own name, those whom thou hast given me, and they may be one as we are one. Here he starts in the one. Now, I used to belong to the Worldwide Church of God because it said to keep the church in his name. So if you were going to the Baptist church, we thought you were wrong. Because it says keep him in his name. I didn't understand. We took it literally. Didn't you take it literally? It means that name, when you look it up, it means authority, character, and it's a verb to know absolutely, to understand what? Oneness. Keep them in your authority. Keep them in your character. Keep them in the knowledge that they are one with you, not this outside name. And let's go to verse 21. Let's skip on down. Verse 21, it says this. For they, that they all may be one, and as is not in there, that they all may be one, thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. I love it. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what that happens? The glory develops as you know oneness. How's the world going to know that we are here? When we understand, acknowledge, accept oneness. You know, I've said this 1,000 times. It's like God gives me a subject. Maybe it's power over death or the male and the female or oneness. And it's like every scripture, it's like a red light going boop, boop, oneness, oneness, oneness. And that's the way it is. I've been seeing this for over a year, but it's like getting so big that I'm dreaming about it now. But I mean, when I saw that tapestry, I was like Paul, when he saw that sheet come down, I saw that tapestry come. I said, what the heck is this? I remember thinking that. And then right next to it, a puzzle, he said, here it is. Every man in humanity that has ever drawn a breath, there's a light that lighteth every man, is part of that puzzle. And until we see the puzzle all together, we're not going to see the full picture of God and understand. And in verse 22, let's see, it says, and the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one. Glory develops oneness, even as we are one. In verse 23, I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And you know what that word perfect means? Who knows what that word perfect means? Huh? Complete. So what are we going to be? Complete in one. What are we growing up into? The fullness of the stature of the complete Christ, aren't we? How is it going to come? When we understand oneness. The perfection is in complete perfection. Remember the cloud of witnesses? What does it say about them? It says, they without us cannot be made perfect, whole. There's a wholeness of all creation that we're on the brink of. But you know what? It's going to make us, we can be one if we're not made uncomfortable. We can be one if you don't push me out of my comfort system. I'll be one with you if you don't make me, you know, if you can talk my language and don't bring in a different vocabulary and start telling me crazy things, I can be one with you. It's when you make me uncomfortable, when you speak in a different, you know, terminology, when you press me out of my comfort zone that I don't feel like I'm safe anymore, that's when I can't be one with you. That's exactly right. It's conditional love, but we are being called to rise above that, not to let go of our beliefs. Well, we are called to let go of the low energy beliefs, but to rise above that and find that place of oneness. Just like Martin Luther King, I think that letter, the article that I wrote, I thought it was funny that I started the beginning of the year with that article because I had that oneness on my heart. He was projecting that same thing with the black and the whites, but Jesus Christ came from a bigger perspective. He was projecting that same thing for all humanity. That we can love. Can you imagine loving somebody from Iraq? Setting our differences aside and just saying, I love you. I honor you where you are. I accept you where you are. And then finding something that we can agree on and not, you know, not bring into argue or bring separation. It is, Jesus Christ said it right here, that we may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. It is in that oneness that the world's going to know. It's in what Frank talked about last week, that love. You know, you're here to really reject all the limitations, all the paradigms of this world, so that you can rise above to a higher dimension of thinking. That's why you're here. Not to come into the world and say, I accept that as truth. I accept that I can't do any more than that. I accept that I'm limited by this physical body. I accept that I can only do so much, be so much. You're here to reject all that. Christ said this, all things are possible to them that believe. And it said, is there anything impossible with God? Is there anything impossible with God? And God, where is he? Inside of you. You are the ones that are called to ascend. You know, all of these movies that are coming out, The Secret and the What the Bleep and all these things are trying to awaken us to the power that resides within us, not to blame others for our life. You know, he said, the devil made me do it. Did you ever see those little shirts, people? The devil made me do it. We believe that. And you know what? When people will call on the phone, sometimes they'll say, the devil is after me. I'm trying to, you know, do this. I'm trying to do that. And I feel like saying, because what is the devil? The evil. It's the mind. It is that belief system that's trying to hinder you. I wanted to see if there was anything else I wanted to say here because I had something about that. Well, yes.
Just on what you just spoke, the word in the word this morning, there is no one to give it, and it's why
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, Kristen. It's beautiful. And you know what? We're just going to be, you know, we have a few minutes left. I want to see, what do you feel? How would you express oneness? I want to hear from others. I know how I feel within myself. I think I wrote a definition what I wanted to say. I want to say oneness is awakening to and coming into the union with my very essence, my true being, with no differences and no separations from my source, God life. And then oneness is realizing those I call others also have the same being, the same source, finding the harmony with them. That was my definition this morning. How would you define oneness? I want to hear how, Barbara. Yeah, stand up. I want everybody just briefly to say, yeah,